largest man in the world.
Okay, it's a little after 1:30. The entire Commissioners Court of Upshur County is all present. We're back in session. Mr. Burke, I had some questions, I think, when we recessed.
Holy moly, I ate lunch since then. Our stop loss business is getting pretty expensive. And in aggregate, and somebody help me with this, because I don't understand everything I'm supposed to know about it, that when we have this big premium for the stop loss coverage, and that's baked into our annual deal, but we don't spend that money and it doesn't hit it, what can you as a consultant do for us, if anything, to get us some of that premium that year refunded? Because we didn't spend that money. It never happened. Can anybody, do we have a consultant that has any clout?
So, from my perspective, I don't get refunds on stop loss premium. If you look over the long haul, the chances are you've probably gotten back the majority of what you put in, but it may not be the case for you. But what we could do is look at different stop loss options, do an aggregating specific option that is a dollar for dollar exchange to lower your premium. And then as you get claims that go above that, then you pay additional until it gets up to the full stop loss premium. So there's a different way to structure it to help you save money, but I've never written a rebate contract.
I agree with that. We used to do some return of premium contracts, but in the end, you're paying more to get some back. We just want to keep it low. We implemented some techniques like aggregating specific to keep the premium down. But it's one of those things where you want to have it, and you sometimes don't use it when you need it. Boy, is it valuable.
Well, and stop loss carriers, they work on, I'm sure everyone will agree, their margins are so small. And so, you know, if you stay with a carrier, eventually it'll wash out the end, and you're on top, and you're eventually going to have to move. I mean, that's why you have to do stop loss. Because your premium versus claims essentially is they're losing money on it. And now they have, of course, 20 layers of aggregate coverage to cover their loss. But I've never seen, unless you were in a captive model where you had to put in the money to be in, I've never seen that happen.
Okay.
How often do you do reporting to keep us on track?
Monthly?
It depends on the customer. I have customers that want a weekly recap of everything that's happened, how many ER claims they've had from the register. So it's tailored. Every customer is the same.
Okay.
So we typically will do monthly reporting. We'll get a dashboard that shows you whether you're trending well, if you're in the yellow, meaning, you know, let's look at something, or if you're in the red, meaning there's really a high trend that we need to address. We also look at your chronic conditions every month to see if there's been a change. We look at your preventive care compliance every month. And we also do a financial reporting package that shows where you are against budget so that you know where you stand against your budget each and every month. And then quarterly, we'll do a DPI. I think y'all right now get that opportunity assessment once or twice a year, but we would do that quarterly for you so that when it's time for renewal, we're not looking at everything at the same time. We already have a plan of action in place.
Okay.
So the others do the assessment to compare to the budget?
Yes.
Just like that?
Yeah, that's a system that actually comes with your CPA most of the time. It's called APH, and you guys run that monthly, quarterly, annually.
My budget report doesn't come out of APH. It's actually a custom report that I have to put in all of your specific information. So how much you pay for your spec premium, what you pay for your ag premium, where you set your budget numbers. So that doesn't come out of APH.
We talked about training. Employees talked about a lot of training. And lack of it, I guess. And y'all talked about brochures. Talked about some online stuff. But I'm looking down here, these gals, what do we need to facilitate our employees to learn what they should and shouldn't do to save themselves money?
Everything possible. They don't understand, the insurance, they don't understand their medical bills, they don't understand how anything works. They're very needy. I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying 100%, but most are. Because it is hard to understand, and it's getting more complicated by the day, it seems. I mean, we look at their claims and bills all the time, and even between sometimes three of us, we're like, what are they doing, you know? So the more training, the more information, the more access to people with information that we can give them, the better.
And at New Hire Paperwork, before they even left our office, they forgot everything I just told them.
Yes.
They have no idea what I just said.
They don't know.
At all.
Because they'll come back 6 months. Nobody ever told me that. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was supposed to go to that hospital. So it's not retained.
From our perspective, what we will typically do is if we're awarded your business, we'll get our communications team to sit down and find out what's worked and what hadn't worked, and put together a communication strategy. Not one form of communication works for everybody, so we would want to find out, have you done print campaigns, have you put flyers up, what have you done that worked well, and what have you done that hasn't, and just try to work with your demographics. But we do believe it's multifaceted, you know, the benefit guide, the online touches, the ability to go to a recorded session that has a table of contents and just click on one topic at a time, sometimes can be helpful. And it may require an app, you know, they may just want an app for the phone that shows what their deductible is, where the top physicians or network or hospitals or a network. So it really depends on the results of our meeting and then continuing to assess that. If we try something and it doesn't work, we need to change our strategy.
So I would say that I think the point of the enrollment is very important in establishing ground game, and especially when you're undergoing any change, to make sure you meet face-to-face. There are additional follow-up items. I agree that the healthcare world is very confusing. Two of our customer advocates that in our office work for, and Blue Cross Blue Shield has a full service claims processing office in Marshall. They have, both of them have 10, I don't exaggerate, but 10 plus years at least in adjudicating claims. So many claims are coding wrong. And they know how, and know a lot of the providers, because we're in East Texas, know a lot of the providers, and we can call and advocate for them. And a lot of those things can be cleared up, but require doctor interface. And then something that, on an ongoing basis, because they do forget everything, if you employ a direct contract or have a different model, we tend to have a customer sort of employee navigator line. When employees call in to pre-schedule, they can then engage someone who can help them navigate where to go, how to go, set things up for them. That's important. That's a key component, can be. And oftentimes, I think it was mentioned earlier, we can even reward them for going to a provider that maybe we have that direct contract with and lower deductible. So that's one model. But I think the key is constant communication channels.
I think everyone has to kind of the same model as far as the communication pieces, the texting, the websites, the apps. But we employ, all of our employees are required to have a license, and all of them are taught how to work with claims, to negotiate claims. So a lot of what we do, we had one person that went to an ER and had a heart attack, stayed in the hospital 2 days, $57,000 bill. We were able to negotiate that down to $9,000. So a lot of what we do is, because they're going to forget, is we have the ability and the relationships to go in and negotiate if they do happen to stray. And we educate them then and say, okay, here's what we've done and here's what we've been able to do for you. If you'd gone to this facility, it would have been this much. So we do the front end communication, but we also have the full staff that answers the phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that helps them as well. If they should
make a mistake or do this step. Because that, you guys have too much to do on your claim HR and with HIPAA, that's our job is to take that part off of you and to be able to direct and redirect and re-educate and continually be here. We're continually in our companies that we work with, we're in their office helping their people and we continue to call reps and hear back about us.
So you're directly negotiating the claims?
We can, or you do? We do. Every group is different. What are they using? What network are they using? How do we negotiate that? Where do we negotiate? But I have 15 years on the third rate administrator side. Right?
So we don't need the UMR?
No. We can, but we use a different route because we can educate better, we can negotiate better when we have. Because when you're in a UMR contract, you're in that contract. And it says you can't negotiate. You have to use their contracted rates.
Should save us some money.
Who all in the room knows what UMR is? Somebody thinks you know what it is, tell the rest of us.
So UMR is a TPA that is wholly owned by UnitedHealthcare.
Okay, hold on, I'm gonna write that down. I'm like Abraham Lincoln. He said he was slow to learn, but he's slow to forget that which he has learned. UMR is totally owned by who?
UnitedHealthcare.
Okay.
You said, Mr. Ward, it was a TPA. What?
Third party administrator. It's just similar to Health First.
All right. You want to go ahead?
I think that Health First has access to the UnitedHealthcare network, which is a national network with fairly good discounts. I think as part of that arrangement, my guess is that, you know, some of their claims may need to be adjudicated at UMR. You're not double paying, as I understand it, but they're outsourcing some of that to UMR because UnitedHealthcare is the network. It's usually to the Choice Plus network. I'm supposing that's where they've outsourced, which is a good network. There are some requirements, and some TPAs have back office, and there's maybe some adjudication. I'm not for sure that's why this name keeps coming up, but that is a UMR, though, is a third-party administrator that administers self-funded plans, pays claims, etc. Is that the context of which you're asking the question?
That is. That's a nice, concise answer. Thank you.
Do y'all have any questions? I'm going to stay very quiet.
Not really. Do
you got any notes?
I've done it.
You last one?
No, it's working on fees at the moment. So really, you know, I mean, for me, my big input comes after you select one of these people.
So what?
Because I want to negotiate the insurance.
I know.
So I'm just kind of waiting on y'all to make a decision. My part in this right now, I guess one question I could throw at them, because from kind of an outside perspective, I hear basically y'all offer similar services, similar rates. In my mind, it comes down really to who is going to work the hardest for us for the money. I mean, it's, you know, I hate to simplify it that much, but I mean, really and truly. So, but y'all have all had the opportunity to maybe get a little better handle on what it is we need. You know, Andy and I usually don't agree much, but I was all on board with Andy's impassioned speech. I mean, I agree with him. You know, those are the kind of things we need. Now that all of y'all kind of have a handle on that.
Did you scare anybody off?
Did
you
scare
anybody off?
In order, do y'all all still feel comfortable with your consulting fees that you cited in RFPs to provide the services that we're looking for? I mean, that's what, or are some of y'all going, oh, wait a minute, that we can do some of that, but it's going to be a cost plus situation. I mean, that's kind of what's running through my head. So are we good with the numbers or? So,
good.
with that.
So for me, it's just, you know, who's going to work the hardest for us, for the bus?
I would like to hear 5 or 6 cents worth from Miss Rachel Stewart.
Robinson.
Robinson. I'm going to see Marty Stewart Friday night, sorry. Do you have anything that can enlighten us? What are we doing now? Don't be shy.
You know, I don't have anything negative to say about any of your people or proposers. I think they're all wonderful consultants and would offer a lot of benefit. I'm excited that you guys are going through this exercise.
Okay.
Yay. So we were talking about, I don't know if Paul was going to ask the question or not, but it looked like she was. We had one proposer said that if they don't perform very well, there's money coming back to us. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why, if you're going to hire a consultant, I guess I put my business hat on, right? We own restaurants, a trucking company, I own a consulting agency. I write the check for 330 employees insurance, right? If I wasn't a consultant and I had a consultant that I was paying every year and I never was able to be trained or seek any type of movement on saving money, why would I keep paying that consultant the same amount of money? You know, and I see it all the time when people come to me and they're like, hey, we've had this consultant, you know, just kind of been going here or staying flat. You know, why not put some skin in the game and say, hey, we'll put 20-30% of our fees at risk if we don't perform for you. You know, I don't see why, it's not like we're losing money on that bill. I mean, everybody's goal is to make money. I called my boss and she said it was okay if I put some fees for this.
If this is a criteria, we're certainly comfortable putting 50% of our fees at risk if you don't like our performance for any reason.
I heard 20-30%. I heard 50%. Who did
that? We have 60.
Anybody else? Let's see some conversation.
My question would be, what would be the criteria of that?
Oh, I don't think you have to create a whole scorecard customer service plan to be able to analyze what your fee you put at risk.
Well, I would have no criteria. If you don't like our service, we'll give you 50% of the fees back.
I guess no criteria at all, Ms. Milton.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is all about.
I agree with the business on Johnson & Gunn.
I'm not really speaking for everybody but me in that. This is not all about just the money. We've been listening to you and what your proposals are and what you do to take care of our employees and us. Now we've got that in our head. Now I guess we are talking about, well, what's it going to cost us and how's it going to work out? So that's how we got there. Okay.
I do have. Go, Andy.
Well, I just have one suggestion. I'm asking the judge. Going into a negotiation like that on percentage of return, is that not going against the RFP at this point in the matter? That's not.
Ask that again.
With them bringing into this, okay, I'm going to give 50, I'm going to give 60, I'm going to give 25, 25, 25. At this point, since they've already turned their RFP in with their price on there, that really shouldn't be addressed at this point.
Correct. It's not. But this is like a free-for-all,
right,
think out loud meeting.
I just didn't want that to be taken into consideration and it be able to be held against us by right. Somebody that didn't win the contract. Just a suggestion.
I have a question for the HUB team. On here in a benefit connector, that is services, I guess what I'm trying to understand is that additional services that you offer?
Yes.
And help to HR? I mean, because that is a big, one of the big reasons that we're going through this process is because of their needs. Because I don't do the job. I don't have to deal with that side of it. So I'm geared to try to find out what they need to be effective for them and for the employees. And so this is talking about this benefit connector at $4.50 a month per employee. So that's another $9,700 a year on top of the fees. So what are the services that are connected or included in the $60,000 a year versus what you're not giving them that we would have to pay extra for? I guess
includes this, the setup of those products, all the EDI interfaces, so you wouldn't have to do that, and then the servicing and support. So basically, we set it up and get enrollment ready for you. So that is a service that we perform in your school. We don't expect you to do that. We set that all up. Is that what you're asking?
I don't know what I'm asking, because I don't do the enrollment.
The key,
so that's
when you're dealing with. You know, what you're dealing with electronic data interface is so that when you enroll in the data, you're not having them to go onto the carrier websites and individually enter that input. Does that make sense? So we would set up the interface so that when you input the data, it directly feeds to the carrier. You wouldn't have to do any of that.
Y'all,
that's included.
Y'all understand that?
Yes.
Is that worth $9,000 a year? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Our proposal includes that included. So the online enrollment tool called Benefits in Hand has electronic data feeds, like what they're talking about, that goes directly to your carriers. Also interfaces COBRA, so that, are you doing your own COBRA now? COBRA administration? You send it to EOR. Okay. So the COBRA interaction is actually done with Rubik Quantum, but once that's loaded into the Benefits in Hand system, it automatically triggers those reports. And so is there anything else that's worth recommending? So, and all of the costs set up for COBRA administration, your per head administration, all that's included in our fee.
And ours as well is included for all those services.
So not all of our clients utilize that service, so we carved that out, but does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I just trying to, since I don't do that job, I'm trying to make sure that whatever I decide gets them what they need to help them do their job. So I may not have asked the question correctly, but I'm trying. Okay.
Well, while we're kicking tires, I got something to throw out there. And let me see how I want to do this. I'm going to kind of go backwards a little bit and just give me a 1 minute answer. You know, Harry Truman got tired of people telling him on the one hand you can do this and on the one hand you can do that. And he threw the guy out and said, y'all bring me a one-handed economist back in here. Okay, we're going to go with Rachel Means first. I've got an employee that's, they're real sick, and the baby's real sick, needs some major treatment, and they want to know if so-and-so hospital in Longview's in the network, who are they going to call? And the wrong answer to give me is you're going to call somebody and you're going to get Salt Lake City, Utah, or India. Now, who are they going to call?
So they're going to call, you have probably, let's see, 7 layers on your account. You start with the person that's always in the office, right? And normally your employees, no matter how much I tell them to text their account manager or call them, they usually start with me. I look it up on my phone. I know what's going on. I usually know the baby, what the symptom is. But I can't tell you right now, you know, hey, here's where the employee would go, because if the baby has myasthenia gravis, they're gonna go to UT Southwestern, not Christus Good Shepherd. So they'll absolutely be in Tyler, who answers the phone, and it just depends on what level of account manager you're talking about.
But somebody in Tyler, Texas is going to answer the phone, tell them what to do. Is that what you're saying?
Say hi, good morning.
24/7.
And you'll have cell phone to those people that are on your account. It doesn't have to be during business hours.
Okay, thank you.
So that'd be 24/7 or 8 to 5?
We answer the phone all the time. Now someone has to be trying to have you back, but we do.
Okay, going backwards.
Now, plus, this is where the phone would be answered. And people generally have my cell phone number as well.
So that'd be 24/7 too?
Yeah, but yes, that might be correct.
I think we'd all say, yeah, it's just what it is.
Okay, how about the wards?
Here we go to Longview, and we have two people primarily with phone rings, so if someone answers the phone, anybody can help them with that.
So y'all got people that worry about employees' problems. I'm going to help them right now.
Yes.
If you go over here to, you know, so-and-so hospital in Denton and you're not in an emergency, it's not in network, it'll be more, but around here, these are in network.
Yes.
Okay.
24/7 as well.
Well, I give, I guess the 24/7, most of my accounts have my cell phone and we have an emergency, but they know how to contact us on cell phone. My staff is not on 24/7, but I will answer the phone.
Okay.
I agree with that. She's not going to answer your phone. I will.
I try to get them and not answer them.
My boss tried it out. Called me from his hunting camp one time at 2 in the morning. They had a little much to drink. And I answered. He said, "Call me. Jim, is this you?"
Girls, how much of what you've heard will be eliminated from your responsibilities today?
Well, either way, we're going to have to communicate with these people and employees because
this will come to y'all first.
Yeah, some of our employees are old school and they want to come to our office, and that's fine. We'll deal with it.
Because they trust y'all.
Yes, exactly. They know us. So we're always going to be involved some way or another, always. But the fact that we do not have a rubber at all and we've taken all of this on, no extra pay, no nothing, it'll help us out a lot because we can lean on them to look into this instead of us. I call these companies all the time, like directly to the doctor. I don't call the doctor's office for these employees myself and I take care of it. And then I also talk to Health First, Rachel and Francis. But before I even contact them, I'm going to look it up myself and say, why are you charging them this amount, you know? So it would take a lot off of our plate. It really would.
You wouldn't have to do that anymore.
We're always going to communicate.
You wouldn't have to do that part anymore.
Right.
You wouldn't have to call the doctor.
Here. You deal with it. And we're not saying that we don't want the employees to call us or come see us. We don't mind helping them. It's just getting to the point where it's too much and some of the, like I said earlier, even we can't figure it out. And it takes sometimes weeks, sometimes months. She had a claim that a year and a half ago, trying to get resolved. I had one that was a year and a half old, almost 2 years old. So these aren't quick fixes. You have a stack, a folder, or whatever you do on your desk, and it's there. Long time.
If
you don't make one phone call, it's fixed.
Frank, can I give you an example of something that happened in the last couple of weeks to the level of how the employees that we work with trust my team? Is that okay? Take me a minute.
To judge.
So,
yeah.
I've got a company. Again, it's not a county, city, or municipality, but they have about 250 Taco Bells all over Texas, right? 1,100 employees. So, we had a member that her daughter is very, very sick. She's a teenage girl. She's had to have IVIG infusions. We were switching to a rituximab infusion, which is you have to be in the hospital for 23 hours to infuse this drug. She needed to go to Children's in Dallas. So I called Children's Dallas myself, got the pharmacy director on the phone, and I said, hey, what are you guys going to charge for this medicine? Where are we ordering it? Let me just talk through this. Let's get her approved. Let's get her in this weekend, right? This was Friday, 8:30 in the morning, I think. And she was going in on Saturday to get this done. So I said, wait. If I order the drug, can we get it overnighted today, right? They were going to charge $5,600 a vial, and she needed 8 vials of this.
us, right? So do the math on 8 times 5,600 divided. We were able to order that drug for $5,200 total, and Uber had a 50% copay. We found a copay card to cover her half, and the cost of the plan was only $2,650 or something like that. $2,650 versus a $55,000 for one infusion, for one drug, and she needed 4 of these at Children's. So do the math on that. And so what I did with the pharmacy director of Children's in Dallas, I said, look, don't you have a benefit plan? What are you going to do at renewal if one of your people came in here and allowed you to charge that drug to the plan? And it goes back to the 40% number in saving money. It's easy to do, and you don't have to take away benefits. You just have to be willing to put in the work. I mean, I was willing to drive the drug to Dallas for this member because her daughter needed the treatment. I don't know if others do that level of customer service, but I know my team does, and we're very passionate about it. And these guys, again, we're in a room full of great consultants, I'll tell you that. In my opinion, you'd probably be the top 4 firms in Texas. So, but I just think, you know, a lot of our service is very customized.
I agree with that, ours is as well. If you would allow me to give a specific example. I had an employee who had a child in at Cook's for 3 weeks. The child was failure to thrive, not doing well. Cook's had run test after test after test. Employee called me, identified that it was a digestive issue and the best place to go was Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So they were wanting to air back this child from Cook's to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. That cost is astronomical, over $100,000. I was able to secure a private jet through a lease arrangement to take the family by themselves. The child didn't need the medical oversight, and that flight was less than $10,000. And we got the child there faster, and they got the care that they needed. They were taken care of in 3 days. Now the child is doing wonderful.
That's incredible.
Recently, Rachel and I had an individual that had a lengthy problem of getting treatment. And my question is to Rachel, could any of these people done a better job than what we got accomplished?
Nope.
Faster? Could it have been done faster?
Sure.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but could any of them done a faster job than what you were able to get done?
That was a complicated issue.
Right, that's why I'm asking it.
Maybe. They could have sourced it somewhere else, maybe.
Any other questions anybody had?
I think what you're discussing today, I just want to make sure I understand, is that you're going to still have Health First as your third-party administrator, because what we're talking about here is not a third-party administrator, but something else. Am I correct?
That's my understanding.
Yes. Okay.
No, I'm just one guy on the court. I think I heard another.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. That's the intent.
Okay, and then we're going to put this back on the agenda at one of the regular meetings. This is a no action item today. If I was a guessing man, I'd say this will be on the agenda next week, or certainly by the last meeting of May.
And I don't see
my opinion would be sooner than later, because whoever is selected is going to have they're going to have to hit the ground running, and they're going to have to run fast and hard, because we're going to be asking a whole other set of hard questions about where are we, where do we need to go, because for the last, well, out of the 5, Frank and I have been here for the last 7 years, and it's been a hard battle to keep from having to pass on the increasing cost to the insurance to the employees. And so far, that's been something that we've been able to do. You know, the county itself has about $300,000 a year funnel in more money to keep that cost low. And so, you know, we're wanting the best bang for our buck. We want the brightest crayon in the box out there trying to get us what we need. So I think we need to have a decision, be able to make a decision next court.
Y'all commissioners need to talk not to each other, but everybody that knows something about this and have your minds made up. And y'all may need to leave some time on the agenda to go into closed session if you need to consult with anybody that day.
Okay.
There's nothing else. I'll take them.
Might want to ask if anybody wants them back out now.
Yeah.
I think all you guys that came are all AAA plus outfits.
We got one question.
Hard decision, big decision.
This is not a question. This is just a comment. Once again, thank all of y'all for coming in, giving us the opportunity. To you five, I understand y'all have looked at the numbers. We don't. Our concern is, of these four groups, who is going to take best care of your employees? That's our concern. I think I've spoke pretty much what everybody in this room was thinking today. But I just hope that y'all make the choice with that in mind, and I'm sure y'all will. But I understand that the cost is a big thing. I know Paul and I have talked about it many times. Frank and I have talked about it many times, the cost of insurance. And I know it's a battle that y'all have to fight every year. But please keep the employee in mind. It's gonna do the best for the employee. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Somebody move to adjourn.
Well, since I haven't said anything, I'm motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion second to adjourn. Those in favor say aye. Aye. We're adjourned, and thank you all for coming.
The most important motion.
You might say the prayer and you ask for the